Three readings from the Synoptic Gospels. We have readings that all relate to one another. First from Matthew chapter 26, verse 26. You can follow along your Bibles or simply hear as I read. This is the word of the living God. Now as they were eating, Jesus took bread, and after blessing it, broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." And he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you, for this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. I tell you, I will not drink again of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." Verse 29 is what we will especially be looking at. And then Mark chapter 14, verse 22. As they were eating, he took bread and after blessing it, broke it and gave it to them and said, "Take, this is my body." And he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, and they all drank of it. And he said to them, "This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many. Truly I say to you, I will not drink again of the fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new in the kingdom of God." And Luke chapter 22, verse 14 to 20. And when the hour came, he reclined at the table and the apostles with him. And he said to them, "I have earnestly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God." And he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he said, "Take this and divide it among yourselves. For I tell you that from now on, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes." And he took bread, and when he given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And likewise, the cup after they had eaten, saying, "This cup is poured out for you, that is poured out for you is the new covenant in my blood." This past week, we have known of funerals, passing away of loved ones for our brother Tim, and passing of his father, Ed Blado. Funeral was on Monday, and there was a funeral at the Ottawa RP Church on Wednesday, the passing of Henny Russell, a member of the Ottawa RP Church. And in these funerals, we're reminded of the reality of death, that in death, that loved one is leaving us, and that we will miss that person that we have so loved. But for us who are believers, anticipate meeting those loved ones again. Just as Jesus was leaving his disciples, he wanted them to anticipate that they would meet him again. And he was preparing them for that reunion. And how long would we say that God has been preparing that place for our loved ones, for us? Would we say that it was from that night that Jesus was saying, "I'm leaving you"? Or would we say it's in the beginning, before creation, when God had that plan of a new creation, of a new heavens and a new earth, a place that he would prepare, and in that place there would be a meal, a supper, called the marriage supper of the Lamb. That's what we're looking at tonight. Now, to trace the origins of this supper, we go to not the night that we just read of here, but we go to the night in which the Hebrews were all prepared to leave in haste. Because that night, the Lord, their God, had revealed to them that they were now going to be redeemed from the house of slavery, from bondage under the Egyptians. And so they needed to take a lamb for each household and slaughter the lamb, take the blood, and paint the door frames of their homes. Then they were to take unleavened bread. As they were leaving in haste, they were to eat that bread and prepare to go. Well, fast forward 1,500 years later, where year after year, on and off, over the history of the Jewish people, celebrating the Passover, leading to this night when Jesus was reclining with his disciples, celebrating that Passover meal, remembering deliverance out of Egypt. There, Jesus, the one who is the Lamb of God, was in their midst. The one that John the Baptist had pointed out, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. That blood that would be shed the following day of the Lamb of God. On that night, Jesus did something different with that Passover meal. When it came to the bread, he broke it, he gave it to his disciples, and he said, "This is my body given for you. Take, eat in remembrance of me." And when it came to the cup, the third cup in the meal, the cup of redemption, he said, "This is the cup of the new covenant in my blood. Take and drink of it in remembrance of me." This was not an ordinary Passover meal. Jesus and his disciples. This meal was different. And in this meal, when Jesus took the bread and the cup, he was identifying these signs and seals of a new covenant supper, a new covenant meal, pointing to his body that would be given for them the next day, pointing to his blood that would be shed the next day as a Lamb of God who would forgive all their sins. And his disciples were to understand that they were to do the same. They were to take up this bread, take up this cup, and to continue this meal, to continue it until he would come again. Now, why were they to continue? It's because he was saying that I am leaving you. I will come again, but I am leaving you. For Jesus, it was the Last Supper. And for the disciples, it was the first of many to come. He was leaving them a meal to remember Jesus, to remember him in his absence. A meal that would be signs and seals of the promise, a pledge that he would return. And they would anticipate that day, that one day they would share in another meal, another supper that would be yet to come. So we fast forward to today, and even looking beyond how many more of these meals we will share until that day. We are coming to this Lord's Supper, this communion meal, with a purpose, not only to look back, as we looked at last month, in remembrance, and even for myself, I've forgotten many things of those all things that we have in Christ and those things that we are to practice, but we are to remember Christ, looking back, but we also now, as we see this evening, we anticipate looking forward to what is before us on that day, until that day, which is the marriage supper of the Lamb, when the kingdom comes, when all will be fulfilled in the kingdom of God. Jesus speaks of all the saints sharing at that banqueting table with him, that marriage supper of the Lamb. And it's when two things we find here in the Gospels. When first we share it new with him in the Father's kingdom, when we share it new with him in the Father's kingdom, and secondly, when we share it when it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. So firstly, from the Gospels of Matthew and Mark, Jesus says that we will continue eating and drinking until that day when we will share it new with him in his Father's kingdom. In Matthew's account, the Lord's Supper, Jesus says in verse 26, "I will not drink of this fruit of the vine from now on until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." In the Gospel according to Mark, chapter 14, verse 25, Jesus gives a more brief statement, very similar. But he says, "Truly I say to you, I will never again drink of the fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new in the kingdom of God." Jesus says, "I will not drink, I will not, I will never again drink of the fruit of the vine." What is this fruit of the vine? When he says in Matthew, he says, "This fruit of the vine, this fruit of the vine in this Passover meal, I will not drink it again until I drink it anew with you in the kingdom of God." We see this promise fulfilled in a sense when he refused to drink from wine mixed with myrrh that was offered to him as he was hanging on the cross, literally dying of thirst. But we want to see something in the Gospels here, that on the night of that Passover meal, Jesus would not drink of the next cup in that meal, that last cup, the fourth cup. Now follow me with this. In Exodus chapter 6, verse 6 and 7, we have an outline of the liturgy of the Passover meal. There are four cups in the meal representing four promises. And the four promises are this: I will bring you out, I will rid you of bondage. And the third cup being the promise, I will redeem you. And the fourth cup, the last cup in the meal, the Passover meal, is the promise, related to the promise, I will take you for my people. Which cup did Jesus take up in the Lord's Supper when he said, "This cup is the cup of the new covenant in my blood"? Without debate, it's the third cup in the Passover meal that he took up. It's the cup that's called the cup of redemption, with that promise of, "I will redeem you." This is the order of the Passover meal, a Seder meal that is still being practiced by the Jews today, in the four cups. But that third cup is the one that Jesus took up. And this is when Jesus said, "I will not or never again drink of the fruit of the vine until I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." There's still one cup remaining in that meal. Now, according to the liturgy, after the third cup, they would sing the second part of the Hallel, which is Psalm 116, 117, and 118. And we see that in Matthew 26, verse 30, that after singing a hymn, that is the great Hallel, ending in Psalm 118, Jesus and his disciples went out to the Mount of Olives. They left, not having taken that fourth cup purposefully, seeming to say that he was reserving that fourth cup until the day when he would drink it new with all the saints, not just his own disciples, but all the saints at that marriage supper of the Lamb. Think of the largest meal that you've ever been part of. Has it been 300, 400, 500, the largest banquet you've ever attended. Perhaps you were the ones preparing for that meal. The hours spent in preparing such a large banquet. Now imagine if we are talking about the marriage supper of the Lamb. And how many saints, the number of the stars in the sky, the number of the sand on the seashore, all sitting at this banqueting table that God is preparing even now for that meal, the marriage supper of the Lamb. Matthew 8, verse 11, it says that many will come from the east and the west and recline at the table with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. Now picture that. Perhaps it's one table stretched out, fully furnished, set for the myriads of guests to be seated at that table to share with the fathers of the faith, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and with our Lord Jesus. Jesus says in Luke 22, verse 29 to 30, that our Father has assigned to us a kingdom that we may eat and drink at his table in his kingdom. Jesus is the host of that table in heaven, but he's the host of this table as well, preparing us for that table until that day. In the new heavens, the new earth, the new Jerusalem, the marriage supper of the Lamb, on that day, he will take up a cup and drink it anew with us in the kingdom of God. And that promise of the fourth cup is fulfilled. And what was the promise? The promise that of the covenant that I will be your God and you will be my people. Fulfilled. As all his people are seated at that table. But until that day, we have this meal, which in a sense is the continuation of that meal that Jesus had with his disciples. Imagine Jesus passing the bread, the unleavened bread, as though he's still passing it out throughout the world. He's still passing out the cup throughout the world, throughout the ages, to all the saints. Until that meal, where we all sit together at that table. And until that day, we read in 1 Corinthians 11 that we proclaim his death until he comes. This is what we are doing at this meal. We're proclaiming a death that brought us redemption. Think of the cup that he had to drink. What was that cup that he was looking into in the garden? The cup where he pleaded, he cried out to his God and Father. If it is at all possible, take this away. But then he submitted to the Father and said, I'm willing, not as I will, but your will be done. That cup that he was looking into, he knew very well what it was. Jeremiah, Isaiah the prophet, even the book of Revelation speak of this cup as the wine. The contents of this cup is the wine of God's wrath, poured full strength into the cup of God's anger. That is what he was drinking on the cross. He drank it to the very last dregs. That's his cup that he took up and drank for you and me. When you drink, for all of you who are drinking of this cup that's served to you, when you look into that cup, what are you thinking about? When I look into that cup, I think of the blessing that has come to me because my curse has been borne by my Savior. the Lamb of God, and his blood covers me so that the judgment of God passes over me. And what I have is this blessing that I can drink of this cup to the last dregs. Every blessing, every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places are mine in Christ Jesus as I drink. What are you thinking of when you drink of this cup? When you eat of this bread? Do you look back in remembrance? The blood of the Lamb that was shed for the forgiveness of your sins? Do you look forward at the same time, anticipating the Lamb returning and bringing you to the marriage supper, his marriage supper of the Lamb in his Father's kingdom, where he desires to drink it new with you and me at his table? So we anticipate that day as we continue and eat until that day. Secondly, when it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. When it's fulfilled in the kingdom of God. In the gospel according to Luke chapter 22, verse 14 to 16, we have Jesus again reclining at the table, the apostles with him, and he says to them, I have earnestly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. Those words, earnestly desire, it's literally with desire, I have desired. With those words, can you hear the desire that Jesus had? He desires to earnestly eat this Passover meal before he suffers, his last meal with them. For I tell you, he says, I will not eat it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And then he took a cup and he had given the thanks. He says, take this and divide it among yourselves. For I tell you that from now on, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes, until it is all fulfilled. Jesus is saying that when the kingdom comes, this meal will be fulfilled. That's when it will be complete and fulfilled. In other words, this supper is only for us to anticipate the next meal that will be a full and final consummation, not only of that meal, but of the kingdom. And remember, this meal, when Jesus shared it with his disciples, when he took up that third cup, he was then going to leave them after passing that cup. And that was leaving with them remembering to anticipate that meal that would be coming in the consummation of the kingdom. And this is why we pray those words, your kingdom comes. Your kingdom come. 1 Corinthians 15 speaks of this kingdom that is coming, that will come and be consummated. And that is when, as Christ now is seated on his throne as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, he will bring all his enemies under his feet, under subjection under his feet. And then he will deliver the kingdom of God to his Father, and God will be all in all. That is when the kingdom will be consummated. And until that day, when his kingdom fully comes, God is preparing that marriage supper of the Lamb. Just as Jesus illustrates this in Matthew 22 with the parable of the wedding feast. Children, I think you know this parable. And let me summarize it for you. As Jesus taught this parable of a king who invited his guests to a wedding banquet, a wedding feast for his son. And he sent out his servants to gather all those who were invited, and they refused to come. And so the king sent out other servants. Some said they were too busy, and some actually killed those servants of the king. And when the king brought those servants back, and he said to them, "The wedding feast is ready, but those who were invited were not worthy." So then he says again to his servants, "Go into the main roads." That means go out to those roads that are leading out of the city, the highways and the byways. Go to those people that have yet to be invited and bring them in. Gather them in. And they did, until the wedding hall was filled with guests. And then the king came into his banqueting hall, and he found the guests seated at the table, and then noticed one man who was not wearing the wedding clothes, the wedding garments. And he said to that man, told his servants to bind that man hand and foot and cast him into outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Literally, grinding their teeth in pain, in darkness. Jesus said the parable, the point of the parable is that many are called, but few are chosen. Now, the point of the parable is not for us to wonder if we are called or chosen. The point of the parable, the application of the parable, is that the king has invited, has called his guest in to his banqueting table. The call has gone out. The invitation has gone out. And you better be there. And be there wearing the right clothes. And what are those clothes, children, to wear at that banqueting table? Because if you're invited, imagine if you're invited by the Queen of England. I thought of maybe some of our leaders on this side. I thought the Queen of England in her royal palace. You would think, what an honor. I will find my best clothes to wear, my best dress, or my nicest suit when I go into the royal palace of the Queen. You would get ready. But how do you get ready for this banquet the King of heaven and earth is preparing for all those who would come? Well, his son has offered clothes for us to wear. And they are his righteous deeds. His perfect life of obedience is like clothes for us to put on, that he puts on, that we can now be with all the saints seated at that table wearing those wedding clothes. So what that means is that we are not trusting in our own self-righteousness, but trusting in the righteousness of the Son. There's no other alternative. Communicating with a new friend of mine and speaking of the only way of salvation. He said, "What about those 5 billion people who do not trust in Jesus Christ?" I said, "God has provided a way in his mercy and love. And he has provided garments for us to wear. As we have been called into his banqueting table, we can wear what would have us sit with him at his table. Now, we have a meal here, and there's a meal yet to be celebrated to come. Some of you will not come to this table, but for those who do come, it is anticipation of that table but for those who will not come to this table. For you, look to that table, that you can trust in Jesus Christ and be clothed and be ready for that table. You have been invited. You have been called to come to Jesus Christ in faith and repentance. When Jesus came, he said, "The kingdom of God is near. The kingdom of God is coming." He said, "Repent and believe the gospel." And the gospel is presented here before us, that whoever trusts in Jesus Christ, that shed blood, forgives all of our sins. Have you received that invitation and responded in faith? Revelation 19:9 says, "Blessed are those who are invited at the marriage supper of the Lamb." Until that day, we look to Christ's return in anticipation when he will bring us to that table, the marriage supper of the Lamb. We'll share it new with him, his Father's kingdom. We'll share it when it's fulfilled in the kingdom of God. As a final note about the traditional Seder, the Passover meal, Jews even today lift up the fourth cup and they say these words, "Next year in Jerusalem." In the hope that they can celebrate the Passover in Jerusalem. What about for us? What is our hope? Is it not that perhaps next year we will celebrate not this meal, but the marriage supper of the Lamb with Jesus in the Father's kingdom? Come, Lord Jesus.